This is Electric Sisterhood podcast episode number 186. The Sisters Go to the Movies.
Hooray for Hollywood! That's Rooey Ballyhooey Hollywood! Where any office boy or young mechanic can be a panic with just a good looking pen.
All right, this is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to yet another episode of our podcast.
It's a special time.
It's the time of the season.
Hey.
No.
Roll it back, all right.
Sorry. I'll take it back to our website. So make sure you visit us at www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can check out the short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce to the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. Yeah, that's it. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. Subscribe, people. Please subscribe. Leave a comment. We set it up so that you can do that. Please?
We did?
Well, you can comment on iTunes.
Oh, yeah. You can comment on the iTunes.
Yeah, comment on the iTunes. Oh, subscribe and comment.
There you go.
Tag team it.
That thing.
Anyway, you can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and you can listen to some other shows that are coming out of the ESH camp.
That's right. Our show comes out every Monday to get you started off right with your week. And then Tuesday, you can get another dose of geek going on with a uniquely Bostonian flavor from the Boston Bachelor Game, whose podcast is co-hosted by our very own King Baby Duck. So you got that coming out on Tuesday. Hitting you Wednesday to nerd it up just a little bit more is Geek Aggro, which is a show hosted by our very own Deuces Wild. So right there, boom, to the hump day, we've got you. And finishing out the rest of the week, well, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us on Facebook. Join our group. Be a fan. Help us get our own name on Facebook. Oh, won't you please? And if you need to know where all that information is, including our YouTube channel, which you should totally check out, and our Flickr account, you can visit www.electricsisterhood.com/socialize and find links to everything you need to get to. I mean, ever. Mostly. On that page.
Yeah.
So with that, I have to let you know that this is a very special episode of our podcast. Because the Academy Awards are about to happen. And you may have noticed that we've been talking a lot about movies lately.
Well, yes. In fact, I want to talk about one right now.
Yes.
Well, Eshmom, Emmy.
Why do you sound so sad all of a sudden?
Well, no. Because
you went to go see a chick flick, didn't you?
Well, yes, but we're both chicks, so that's okay. But, I mean, we went to go see Valentine's Day.
Oh, my God.
After Valentine's Day, which I think is really kind of funny.
Uh-huh.
But it's okay because we went. And it's actually still, people are still really interested in this movie. Like, it was quite sardine-y in the theater.
What you're saying is it was a packed house?
Yes, it was quite packed. A lot.
Was it chock full of ladies?
It was. There are men, too.
Ooh, it's a lady.
But anyway, let me get to, you know, an important story. I mean, and I'm only going to, you know, spoil one little...
Spoilerish is in the hizzy.
Yeah, I'm going to spoil something. So,
you know, we should come up with, like, theme music for when Spoilerish shows up.
Yeah. Spoilerlicious has the news. Oh, God, please don't let that happen. That'd be horrible. Anyway, so I'm sitting next to, you know, Eshmom, and we're watching the movie. And you know it's an ensemble cast with a lot of, big no-name,
mm-hmm.
you know,
Latifah
actors.
Latifah was in it, and Jamie Foxx was
Latifah,
in it.
Latifah, Anne Hathaway.
Ashton Kutcher, Anne Hathaway.
Eric Dane, Bradley Cooper. You know, you know all these names.
Right.
And they're all interwebbed with each other, because, of course, that's how ensemble casts tend to
they're
work.
They're interwebbed with each other?
They're interlocked, I'm sorry. They're interlocked.
They're interwoven? I think you meant to go interwoven, but the internet's jumped up in your face.
And don't forget, you know, the Taylors are in there.
The Taylors.
Both Taylors. Yeah, Taylor Swift and Taylor, I'm in the Twilight series, Taylor.
No!
Yeah, which is fun because I think they were actually dating during filming, which is really funny.
No!
Yeah, it's okay, though.
I am very anti-Taylor Swift right now.
I don't have an issue with her.
I do.
I don't, but that's not,
That's not this podcast, though.
Yeah, so I'm sitting next to, you know, I've got Esh Mom on my right, and I've got little E-Tal on my left.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and as you go through the movie, you see who's linking up with who. Because it's not necessarily the person that you see in the trailer.
Well, it's kind of like Love Actually. There are all these little couples and trying to be couples or not.
Eventually, they're not really the couples that end up being couples at the end of the movie.
Right.
So you're trying to guess who's going to link up with who. And right. It's really, really funny because, you know, some are pretty standard and, well, like I said, other ones are going to change. And you see this one guy played by Eric Dane, and he's a football player. Mm-hmm. He's not old, but he's old by football standards. And he suffers this huge loss. And everyone's like, I think it's time for him to retire. You know, and Jessica Biel is his agent.
Uh-huh.
You know, and she's like, I'm going to set up a press release. And, you know, you can tell them, you know, you're still in it to win it. And he's like, you know, I really want to, you know, I don't have a family. I don't have that type of life. And I want that. And she's like, well, really think about it before, you know, I set this up. And he finally, you know, comes to this decision that, you know, he wants to, you know, do the press release. So she goes and she sets up, you know, like several, you know, reporters to show up. And he pretty much goes on to his, you know, podium. And they're like, so.
So you mean press conference?
Cause yeah.
Press is on paper.
Yeah. Yeah, conference, yeah. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she introduces him. He goes out there and they start asking him questions. And he's like, before I answer any of that, he's like, I just want to say one thing. I'm gay. So, and, you know, all the reporters are kind of like, what, are you still going to play? And he's like, I'm gay and I'm here to play. And, you know, and it's like, my God. And, I mean, the whole theater was laughing, but, you know, so we know that somebody's gay. So we're like, okay, so who's he going to, you know, end up with? And they keep showing him as, like, you know, all alone. Because, you know, no one's going to touch him after he makes, you know, this statement at this conference.
Right, right.
You know, and they pretty much leave it alone until the very end of the movie. You know, and as you've seen in the commercials and trailers, you see Bradley Cooper sitting on a plane with Julia Roberts, who's mm-hmm. coming back from Iraq. You know, and at one point she changes out of her, you know, her fatigues and she's in normal clothes and he's flirting with her heavily, or at least that's what it looks like,
mm-hmm.
you know, and at the very end, you know, the plane touches down and she's trying to get a cab to get to where she needs to go. And like, he has this like private car, you know, so you're like, okay, so he makes money doing whatever it is that he does, because he never really talks about him. So you don't really know what he does. You know, when he's like, take my car, he's like, it's okay. And she's like, oh my God, you're a godsend. Thank you. You know, and she takes the car and you see her, you know, get dropped off at this house. And she's actually going to see her son. She only gets one day.
Aww.
So, like, it's really cute. You know, but then you're like, okay, well, then what happens to this guy? So it shoots back to the football guy. He's sitting in this beautiful mansion. You know, he's sitting by himself and he's kind of moping. And at one point you see him fall asleep and you see the door open. And you hear footsteps. And it's like, oh, I'm like, someone broke into his house. I'm like, no, someone had to have, you know, had a key. And he takes it, whoever it is, has these orchids and starts running it across Eric Dane's face. Mm-hmm. And he wakes up and it pans up and it's Bradley Cooper. And like, all the girls in this theater were like, oh my God. And, you know, Esh Mom's like, why do they have to be gay?
I can totally see you doing that.
They're so good looking. Wow. And I'm like, Mom, they're a good looking gay man. But that's not the point.
That's, you know, the podcast too.
So, I mean, everyone's kind of like, oh my God. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, I knew it. I've watched too much anime. I knew it.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, you have. Yeah,
yes, you have. I have. So, I mean, it was just really funny to see everyone in an uproar. But at the very end of the movie, because there's like this radio talk host guy. And he pretty much is narrating stuff that's not, you don't see going on in the movie.
Okay.
And he's the last voice that you hear, you know, and it's like, it's panning up to this night sky. And he's like, you know, it's 30 minutes before, it's just going to be another day. So let's all say the three words that are left to be said on this day. Let's get naked. And that's how the movie ends. Which I thought was really funny because I thought they were going to go, oh, I love you or happy Valentine's Day. Nope, it's let's get naked.
Well, I mean, think about it. That's not a bad way to have ended Valentine's Day.
No, getting naked on Valentine's Day. But, you know, you can...
Just depends where and what the circumstances are. You know, if you heard... Let's get naked is not what you want to hear.
Well, that's
following
true.
That.
Needless to say, so that's my little movie. That's my little movie clip, so...
Well, we've got a bunch of movie clips coming right at you here. So that's a pretty good lead off one.
Yeah.
We started with the love and the sex and the nakedness. And now we get into... The bits and bubbles that make up episode 186.
Why do people like this movie?
I haven't seen it.
I've talked to so many people who are like, oh, I really like the plot, or blah, 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 blah. It's good. And it's like, no, it's not.
Then they really haven't been an Indiana Jones fan for long. That's one thing that I find with a lot of movies that are coming out that are... Your continuations of existing stories or playing off of existing storylines is most of the people that enjoy the new interpretation or the new delivery aren't really the hardcore fans. Yeah. Okay. For instance, I fucking loved Iron Man.
I loved Iron Man.
Loved Iron
Man. One of my friends told me that she wants to have babies with the movie because it was that fucking awesome.
Okay. Loved, loved, loved Iron Man. I have high hopes for the new Hulk movie. Because
it's Edward Norton, though.
And that's why I have high hopes. First of all, the Hulk. Okay, and right now the name is, like, escaping me. Bruce Banner, thank you, Jesus, is not supposed to be some big hulking dude when he's a regular dude.
Yeah.
That was my whole problem with Eric Bana, is he was too good-looking and too brawny to be Bruce Banner. Bruce Banner is supposed to be this little, almost homunculus of a guy who's so calm and collected that the fact that he turns into this raging, hulking, non-communicative thing is supposed to be a big juxtaposition. So that was my problem number one there. Okay, then the whole visual take that Ang Lee did. Don't get me wrong. I thought visually it was gorgeous, but the paneling thing just, it didn't work, and Nick Nolte was a fucking nut wrong. It was all wrong. This new Hulk, the fact that it's Ed Norton, the fact that he can have that little shit-eating grin at the end, that is beautiful to me. The fact that he's just this little tiny dude, okay, when he says, you don't want to get me angry, because I can't really control myself when I'm angry, the way that he delivers that, I have high hopes for this Hulk.
Yeah.
I like Edward Norton.
Found his big, green Tyler Durden.
Okay. Then you add to the fact that Robert Downey Jr. is going to make an appearance in the Hulk movie as Tony Stark. Pretty much makes me...
I am so excited for the Avenger Initiative.
Oh my God, don't even...
I don't even like the fucking Avengers, and I'm wicked excited about this.
Yeah, but you gotta be careful, though, because who, like, if someone that you guys don't like picks it up, they're gonna fuck it in the ass with no lube.
But they always fuck it in the ass with no lube.
It's like guaranteed, but I can still be excited about it and, like, enthusiastic about it until that happens.
Okay, I was so disappointed with Hellboy. Crazy.
I know.
I finally saw a preview for Hellboy 2 the other day. That's going to suck so hard.
Yeah, like you can literally hear it sucking wind at this point, all the way in California.
Yeah, you know? I thought I did hear some sucking in the air this morning.
Yeah, that's Hellboy 2. That's Hellboy 2. You know, so at this point, I'm just trying to. I've got my movies marked for the summer to try and get me through the summer. There are a bunch of people that are excited about Hancock, but I can't get with that either.
I don't know. I just think Will Smith is blowing up his ego.
Let's
like I didn't see I Am Legend, but I mean, like, I heard like there was it was okay. I heard like
look,
I heard.
Here's the thing.
Great. Well, having read the original graphic novel, it was bad.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Oh, there's another one I'm not excited about. Wanted.
Yeah.
It's totally not going to be anything like the graphic novel. Because in the graphic novel, it was very much, we are supervillains, we finally banded together, and we took down all the superheroes. And, you know, now we can do whatever the fuck we want. The way it's looking like it's going to turn out to be is we're just normal people who are getting away with shit.
Yeah.
Well, that's not
because,
cool.
Because Angelina Jolie's character, Fox, was a fox. She had ears. Pointy fox ears. So, you know, it's just
like
it's
anything.
His dad was a super villain, and
they take it, they fuck it, and they make you hate it. I mean, I agree with Kingdom Hearts Fangirl. Okay, Speed Racer thing.
I do not want to see a Speed Racer.
Avoiding the trailers as much as possible because they've taken one of cartoons that I fucking grew up watching, and they've anally raped it and given it syphilis.
See, why do they take the stuff we like and kill it? Why don't they take something we already don't like and then kill it further?
So seeing as how we've turned this into ESH at the movies, we can talk about Mario Kart another time, because I got to stay on this topic, because this is really pissing me off.
It's a good topic.
Okay, this is really pissing me off. If you take a look at the movies that they've been doing lately, they've all kind of been centering around the whole, okay, we've got to find something that has an audience built in, because it's to the point where, depending upon where you go, you're now paying nearly $15 a ticket to go see a movie, so we've got to do movies with a built-in base so we can bring it back up. So the fact that X-Men movies did so well, and the first, I don't know why, Fantastic Four movie did so well, and the Spider-Man movie did so well, everyone's like, yeah, comic book geeks, they'll sit down in a dark room for 2 hours at a time and eat this shit up.
Sorry, I prefer to do it with a computer, but whatever. Sorry, I had to go there. But anyway.
Yeah. Okay, so you sit there and you think of, all right, let's go ahead and option every fucking comic book we can get our hands on. And then we'll figure out, after we bought everything, if we can actually make these things and which ones we should make. Yeah. All kinds of shit got optioned, but they aren't all being made into movies. Wonder Woman got optioned. It got killed. There's supposedly a Green Lantern movie, possibly.
Hal Jordan Green Lantern. Ew.
Yeah. Okay. They're trying to figure out how to make a Martian Manhunter movie.
Can't imagine there being a particularly good movie about John Jones.
Do you see where I'm going? They're pretty much optioning everything, and they're fucking it over. Hellboy is not a pussy of a character. I don't understand why in the entire first movie he was a fucking pussy. Hellboy!
I don't know why he was hanging on the roof with a kid, like eating, drinking milk and talking about chicks. Like,
this is where I'm at with the pussy thing, okay? I mean, yes, he pines over what's her face. He does that in the comic books, but he's not a big vagina about it.
He does it in a manly way.
It's very, very manly, and I don't know how to explain it other than it's very manly. It's just very chauvinistic and macho.
Manly.
Yeah, seriously. And so, I mean, I loved Iron Man. But again, I told you that I was pretty much going to love it because I knew that Robert Downey Jr. was going to do Tony Stark the way that Tony Stark should be done.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet, so.
Okay, in the second movie.
I saw it twice before it had been in theaters a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
In the second movie, they're actually going to explore some of Tony Stark's fall from grace and the alcoholism. I'm like, thank you fucking Jesus. Let's not make him
Do we think that that's wise? I mean, he did battle with addictions for a while there.
Yeah, well,
he should play it well.
Exactly. You know, I have high hopes for this Batman movie that's going to be released. And I'm pissed that if it does well, it's the last Joker one that we're going to have because Heath Ledger is dead.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what direction
it looks like they're setting up for Two-Face for the next one. So
I hope to God.
They're going to redo Two-Face?
Yeah.
Or like,
did you not pay attention to the trailers where Aaron Eckhart is Harvey Dent? And there's the scene where he's got his face in some liquid or another. And I hope to God that was acid, because if that's gasoline and somebody lights his face on fire, I'm going to be pissed.
Yep.
Because Two-Face did not get lit on fire. Oh. Two-Face got acid in the face.
Yep, got acid in the face. Not lit on fire. Anyway, I just see these optionings. I hope they start dying off. I really want to see, and don't get me wrong, I love sci-fi. I love sci-fi movies. But I'd really like to see them do a better take. You know, I mean, they've got a lot of content that's out there, and there are so many other things that are deserving of getting some kind of treatment that aren't getting any treatment.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to see some video game movies, but good ones, not bad ones.
We need to stop taking video game movie, like video games, putting names on them, and then the movies be nothing like the game.
Or not even, I don't even care if it's really related to the game. Like Alone in the Dark, okay, fine. That was fine. It's a fucking slasher game. It's a fucking slasher movie.
But Final Fantasy, like the first Final Fantasy, had nothing to do with the game.
Yeah, the Final Fantasy movie had nothing to do.
Within.
Yeah. It was like, here's my ass. Here's a dildo. Have at it.
Keep in mind that the Final Fantasy games don't have anything to do with each other.
And that's fine, but literally there was nothing. There was no characters. They were in space, which, correct me if I'm wrong, I haven't played a Final Fantasy game yet that took place in space.
They might have had a spaceship to fly around their planet. But they never entered orbit.
Yeah.
No.
What about Shinobi? She was from space.
But you never went to space! They never showed you her in space!
Go to fight her. She came to you.
Sorry.
Okay? Alright, not only that, okay, but then you had the Super Mario Brothers movies, which, don't get me wrong, I love John Leguizamo. Okay? And I love Bob Hoskins. Okay, and you know what? Yeah, I'm definitely into Dennis Hopper. But that was a bad thing to do. That was a very bad waste of 3 months of
filming,
working, and it should be blown off the face of the planet. Okay,
But seriously, looking at the Mario games, could you imagine if they tried to do a movie, how repetitive that would be, Mario going to five castles.
Have a platformer movie?
Look, here's just my idea, okay? Just bear with me. Why couldn't you do a Mario movie much in the guise of Lord of the Rings, where it's just, we're trekking, we're on a quest to save the princess. So instead of to get the ring, we're on a quest to save the princess.
Because if you look at the original Mario games, you just start off in World 1, you didn't see Mario at his house, oh shit. There's no.
Whoa, ladies. I'm not saying that it needs to be an exact copy of the game. I would hate an exact copy of the game because every game is repetitive. Okay? What I'm saying is.
Yeah, everything that's not an RPG.
Exactly, is repetitive. So that's not what I'm saying should be the port of the game. What I'm saying is there should kind of be a little bit more thought put into the plot structure. Okay, because even in the Super Mario Brothers movie, they were out to eventually, once they got into Koopa Town, save the princess. So that path was there. I mean, because that's ultimately what Mario is about. It's getting through the damn booby traps to save the fucking princess and beat up the Toad guy.
Do you really think Peach would go for Mario? Real people. No way.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, this new Street Fighter live-action movie, that's going to be a piece of shit.
I know.
It's going to be a worthless piece of shit. Anybody remember the DOA game? Which all it had was hot-looking chicks, kind of sort of fighting. And they weren't even that hot-looking, because I don't know if you saw the wigs or not, but they were atrocious. If you're going to do it, put the time and effort fucking
dye your hair!
That's what I'm saying.
That comes out.
Okay.
God.
with the video game stuff is, if you're going to do it, don't half-ass do it. Don't Yui Bowl this shit. And that's what's happening. Okay.
The problem is they're trying to take something that only appeals to certain people, namely us, and they're trying to mass market them, which case they're usually losing the people that originally liked it.
Right. What I don't understand is, if you're trying to take something that is ours, that you want us to go with, here's the thought. Why don't you involve some of quote-unquote us? We'll figure out the way to make it mass market for you.
Yeah.
If they made a Warcraft movie, I'd be a night elf. I'd dress up as one and go.
Cosplay for the opening?
And do the dance. I already do the night elf dance.
And you start thinking of that, and that's really what movies are supposed to be. It's supposed to be about sharing this great experience that either is very emotional and takes you to a very happy place, or a very sad place, or is very fantasy and, kind of expands your realm of your imagination just a little bit for a little while that you share with this big mass of people in a larger than life platform, and then you go back to your dumb, stupid, retarded, piss me off reality. That's what movies were supposed to be.
It's like a voluntary mass hallucination.
It is.
So as I was talking about earlier, I stopped over in B3ville to hang out with the B3 crew. And they extended me an invitation to go with them to the movies earlier today. And I went to go see The Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, the Tarantino flick!
Yes, indeedy-do. Granted, we went to the 11:10 showing, so obviously, matinee bitches, little less monies goes a long way.
And, you know, you need that because you are now an employed panda.
I am an employed panda, so but it's very slow. It's going to be like a rolling schedule.
I wanted to mention that because I can no longer make the broke-ass no-job panda vicious joke.
Well, see, you could still call me broke.
Right.
But I got the job.
But you got the job. Huzzah!
And having a job is half the battle. G.I. Joe. Anyway, so they invited me to go out with them to go see The Inglourious Basterds, which I happily accepted due to the fact that I have hardly seen any movies in quite some time due to the broke acidness.
Right.
Not to mention, I wanted to hang around with the whole B3 crew to get an idea, a better idea of what they are all about.
Right.
So, like I said, I accepted and I went. And I was very excited to see this movie because, hello, killing Nazis.
It's like a video game, but with Brad Pitt.
And they weren't zombies. So, I mean, the first aspect of this whole movie, I mean, I'll talk about it in an entirely what I thought. There were several points in this movie where there was a lot of dead air. Like, there'd be two people having a conversation, and one person would ask their question. There'd be, like, 4 or 5, maybe even 5 to 6 seconds of dead air, no ambiance in the background, like dry tension air.
Mm-hmm.
And then a response. But half the time, those dialogues were not, like, I felt like the dialogues were not meant to create tension. Like, the opening scene, there's a lot of dry, crackly air tension, but it's meant to make you think, holy crap. Because right. The opening sequence of this movie is really good. Like, you really kind of thought that, you know, there'd be, like, guns a-blazing and, like, it'd be super, super bloody. Because, as we know, Quentin Tarantino is a great fan of the blowings ups of the organs through guns.
He comes partly from the school of...
Grindhouse?
No. I was going to say that he comes from the Michael Bay school of explosions.
But he does it with organs and blood.
He has developed, however, his own school of thought on what gore and violence are.
So I mean, I can give you guys a little bit of a description of the opening scene. You've got a man chopping wood out in the country. There's a bitch nearby. She's hanging some clothes. I thought it was his woman, but it's actually his daughter. You know, and it's all quiet. The hills are alive with the sound of music kind of bullshit.
Right.
You know, and then all of a sudden this car starts coming up the way. And the daughter's all, papa, papa. Mind you, everything's kind of subtitled until they go English on you. So, I mean, half the time you have to watch the screen because you got to read. But then when they start flipping English on you, you're totally in the zone. She's like, papa, there's somebody coming. And he's like, prepare my water for bathing and then go in the house with your sisters. So she runs over and gives him some water and he sits down and he splashes himself so he doesn't look all dirty. And who is it coming up the hill but some fucking Nazi Jew hunters? You know, and there's two guys, and they hang outside, but the main guy you want to worry about is this guy named Landa. And I can't remember who plays this guy, but, I mean, he's got salt and pepper hair, very sunny disposition. You know, like, do you mind if we go in the house and we talk? You know, and the guy's like, we? So, you know, they go in the house, and the daughters are hanging out, you know, and the guy sits down, he's like, you know, the house, the father of the household offers him a drink. He's like, no wine for me. He's like, you guys are dairy farmers, right? Awkward tension. We. Well, then I'd love some of your fresh milk then. Okay. Give him the milk. He, like, shoots it down like it was booze, like, ha-cha. You know, and then he's like, you know, I left my men outside. I trust you. I would appreciate if your girls were not here during our conversation. You know, and pretty much as soon as the girls leave the room, Landa starts, you know, starts talking up this man. I think his name was like Le Pepperdis. You know, and he's just like, you know, there were a lot of other cow herder farmer people, you know, dairy farms around here, four of which were Jews. Now we have all of them except for one family. Now, I'm not saying that you have anything to do with this, but any information about that would be really helpful. Dead silence. You know, and then all of a sudden they start talking in English. You know, the two of them begin to talk in English.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Landa is pretty much like, you know, so what have you heard? And, you know, and the father is kind of like, I heard they escaped. I heard that they made it to Spain. And he's like, really? You know, and then he's like, well, you know what they call me, right? There's a big thing about nicknames in this movie. Everyone has an associated nickname throughout this historical time, quote unquote, because this is kind of fiction. This didn't exactly happen in history, as we all know. But, you know, and he's just like, they, you know, they call him like the Jew hunter. Like he they call him the hunter because he doesn't just think of himself as, you know, a Nazi hunting Jews. Like he's able to think, he says he's able to think like a Jew, you know? Yeah. Oh my God. Like,
okay.
So he just, he keep, you know, and he's building up all this tension and, you know, the silence is so deafening between the two. So, you know, finally, you know, he's just like, you're holding this family that we're looking for. They're here in this house, even though we've had people here before, you know, and this is all in English, you know, and the guy starts to break down. He's just kind of like, yes. And he's like, and I take it because you admitted this to me in English that they don't speak English. So he's like, no. And he's like, they're hiding underneath your floorboards like rats, right? You know, so he kind of like nods and he has the guy point out where they are on the floorboards. So then, you know, they go back to speaking French and it sounds like he's just going to leave. He brings in his three guys from the Gestapo. He places them and they just shoot the fuck out of this man's floor. So, I mean, there's no blood coming out of the floors, but all of a sudden you see a bit of a person scamper away like a rat, you know, and it's this 18-year-old by the name of Shoshana, who you see later on in the film, but I won't go into all of that, and you see her just running from underneath the house, and Lando goes outside, very calm, takes off his jacket, slightly raises his hand because he's holding a Walther, which is like, I guess, their standard gun for Nazis at the period of time, and you think he's gonna, you know, and he's aiming at her, and you think he's gonna just shoot her. And he lets her go. And he's just like, au revoir, Shoshana. And she's just, you know, she's bloodied. And she's dirty. And she's just running. And this is how the whole story starts. So the real story doesn't happen until about 4 years later. You know, and you got Brad Pitt, who's got these eight Jews that he's, like, formed into the Bastards. Mm-hmm. They... And he apparently descends from some Indian.
Mm-hmm.
So he calls himself the Apache. And he's just like, I want Nazi scalps. Each of you motherfuckers owe me 100 Nazi scalps. You know, and at first I was just like, oh, he's just a Southerner. He's just talking. No. This is Quentin Tarantino.
Right.
So after they completely obliterate, like, this whole Nazi party, all these dead, some alive, some of them are dead, and they're just peeling off the scalps. Now, one of the beef
crew... ew!
Oh, yeah, like, brains and all, like, you know...
Ew!
And, I mean, close-ups? Oh, jeez. You know, one of the B3 guys was a little upset in terms of how they were showing the scalpings in the show... in the movie, because, you know, original Indians apparently did it from the back of the neck so they could get the whole scalp as a piece, whereas they were going from the front in this movie, so it was a much smaller piece of scalp. Regardless, they cut off so
I'm going to go with, ew. That's going to be my vote. I didn't see the movie.
So many scalps.
But that's how I'm voting.
So, I mean... they were just out for it. You know, Brad Pitt wanted to just invoke fear in the hearts of Nazis, and he was doing it. My favorite scene in terms of out of this whole movie, there's several scenes that stick in my mind besides the first one, but after this slaughter of this Nazi party, there are three still alive, and the bastards are all around these three guys, you know, and they grab the captain and they're just like, look, we want you to tell us where this another fucking party is. We want to know where they're going and we want to know what they're playing with, you know. And this guy's like, no. He's like, fuck you guys. You know, he's just like, you know, we got this guy. You know, have you heard of the Bear Jew? You know, and of course, all the bastards, you know, they all start kind of laughing. You know, and this Nazi guy's kind of like, I've heard of the name, yes. And he's just like, he's in that tunnel over there. Now, if you fucking tell me where these fucking Nazi scum are, he'll stay in there. But if you don't, I'm going to have him out here. And you know what he's going to do to you? Do you know what the Bear Jew does? And he's like, you know, he hits people with a club. He goes, oh, no, 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 no. He beats the ever-loving fuck out of you with a Louisville slugger. He's like, and it's the closest thing that we get to see to a movie. So go ahead. Don't tell us, because we're going to get something out of this. And the guy still refuses.
Okay.
So, of course, they summon the Bear Jew. You know, and as he's walking through the tunnel, you hear him slightly hitting the bat along the wall. Now, this they dragged it out a lot. I believe it was
Tarantino.
I believe it was Eli Roth who plays the Bear Jew.
Possibly. I know he's in the movie.
I believe he plays the Bear Jew. And he comes out. Now, you know, they make him sound like he's going to be this big grizzly. You know,
But Eli is a little guy.
Yes, well, he is. But, I mean, the Nazis in this movie make the Bear Jew out to be like this golem. So when he finally comes out, you're kind of like, you know, what? But, you know, he comes up and he's wearing a wife beater. He looks kind of grungy. He looks like he came out of the North End.
Gotcha.
And the guy's on his knees and he's looking up, you know, and, you know, the Bear Jew looks down at him and he's wearing a swastika and, you know, and he pokes it with his bat and he's like, did you get that for fucking killing Jews? You know, and the guy's like, for bravery, you know, and then he just winds up and he clocks this dude. Like, I don't even mean like clocks. I mean, you see the dust from like a part of a remnant of the bat just bam across this dude's head. And he starts, like, you know, quivering like a fish. And it just starts to pan out. And you just see the Bear Jew just clubbing into his head. And it's just big, bloody mess. And they're all going apeshit. So one guy gets really excited after that and shoots the second Nazi. So there's only one left. You know, and they bring him, you know, Brad Pitt's like, bring me the other one alive, please. So they bring him, and he's like, are you going to show us? And instantly, this Nazi was like, right here. This is where they are. This is what they have.
Would you like me to escort you there?
he wasn't playing around at all. And he's just like, all right, well, you know we're not into holding, you know, we're not about prisoners here. Now, what are you going to do when we let you go? And he's like, I'm going to go home. I'm going to see my mom. I'm going to give her a big hug. No, and Brad Pitt's like, you're going to take off your uniform? And he's like, yes, I am, and I'm going to burn it. And he's like, oh, no, no, no. He's like, I don't want none of you Nazis to be taking off your uniforms, because then I wouldn't know who you are. So I'm going to put something on you that you can never take off. So Brad Pitt takes up this huge fucking knife.
Oh, shit.
And he stabs a swastika into their foreheads. So they have a scar. A swastika star.
Yep.
On their foreheads for the rest of their lives to mark them as Nazis. So I was like, whoa! They are just taking names. It is visually stunning. I mean, they do a lot of outdoor scenes where, mm-hmm. you know, like, I don't know where they did a lot of their filming, but it was very pretty, like in the opening scene. I mean, wide open spaces. You know, when it came time to be very dramatic, like, later on, at one point, they are deciding how they're going to group a whole lot of Nazis together to take them all out. As the story as the story holds it, all the four big generals and the Führer all happen to be at the same place at the same time. So the bastards are planning to go in there and, you know...
You're not going to give away the whole movie, right?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I'm just saying, they all are at this certain place and you think certain things are going to happen the way that, you know, it seems like it's going to go A, B, C, D, but it doesn't go A, B, C, D at all. But, I mean, visually very stunning. I like how they capture certain places by, you know, one place has more reds so that you hone in on everything that's red. It makes you think, why are all these things highlighted in such a way? You know?
Right.
So, I mean, if you're paying attention to stuff like that, you'll be like, oh, my God. That was really cool. That's really awesome, too.
So, let me ask you then. Do you think that Tarantino's got his mojo back?
I think so. Outside of, like I said, the few points of silence that didn't add to any of the tension already, I thought were a little loose, like a little lacking.
Because for a while there, it felt like Tarantino kind of...
He lost it for a bit.
Well, he and Rodriguez. I mean, like, it. I am not a Planet Terror fan.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not a huge fan of Grindhouse movies to begin with.
Grindhouse, I didn't think the Grindhouse movies were so bad.
No, I'm talking about Grindhouse movies in general.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I didn't think that Rodriguez's Grindhouse movies were bad. Yeah, that's what you call, you know, Planet Terror and Grindhouse. I don't think that they were bad. But as far as, you know, comparing them to Desperado and comparing them to Pulp Fiction, and I know that they're different genres, it didn't seem like the same zeal that both of those directors had came through in the Grindhouse movies like they did in
Desperado and Pulp Fiction
or even Sin City. Like, it seems like as they're getting older that quick, easy bite is something that they're moving away from as directors.
Right. Well, I mean, comparing to Pulp Fiction and stuff, I wouldn't say that Inglourious Basterds is like that. The quality is definitely a little different. And, I mean, it does kind of come off a little bit different from what he's done originally. Do I think that this might recapture his, you know, our attention to him? I actually really do think so. Even with the few patches, like I said, of the dead silence, which did not add to the scene, but they didn't take away that much either. It was just a personal, for me.
Right.
People are still digging at me for spoiling the first 45 minutes of Inglourious Basterds. I've been refusing to go into chat because every time I go there, like, it's Derek. Derek keeps fueling it. Like, I didn't go on a show. Like, I went on a show a couple of days ago because he was sick. And he's like, Luzley's going to be essentially talking all by herself. So I said, I'll come on in and talk with Luzley so that the show doesn't lose any type of dynamic. Luzley never showed up. So it was a very sick Derek, me, and a very sick Alpha Box. So I read the news, and that's fine. And every time I finished with the news story, he would essentially be like, well, Panelish has just PM'd me the ending to Lost Season 6. And I'm really pissed right now. Like, that's what he'd do the whole night. And I'm like, what the fuck, dude? What? I'm like, I only spoiled 45 minutes. I'm like, you guys spoil shit all the time, but when I do it, it's a big fucking deal.
Yes, because of the way you react. You're great filler for airtime.
They need to stop it. I don't like it.
I'm actually probably going to the movies tonight. I think, I'm not 100% sure, but isn't Ghost Rider in the theaters by now?
Yes,
I believe so, yes.
I'm so excited about that.
Are you there, like, shareware?
But I don't actually know what it is. What?
Are you there, like, shareware?
Yeah, I guess. No, because Nicolas Cage is one of my favorite actors, and I love comic book movies, and there's fire, and there's skulls, and there's motorcycles, like, and, you know,
fire,
what,
like,
could be better?
See, here's my only problem with that.
I'm just hoping there's a little plot in there, too.
I love Nicolas Cage.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And I love Ghost Rider comics.
I hear this enormous butt lurking behind your words.
He named his kid Kal-El. How can I take him seriously?
I didn't actually hear about that.
Yes! He named his kid Kal-El.
Hey, wow. Isn't he also going to be in that movie Wild Hogs?
No, that's John Travolta. No. You're mixing up your white guys.
How do you mistake? Okay, wow.
Because she's thinking about...
If you're watching Face Off, I can understand
mixing up a little. And that's what it is. She went back to Face Off and was like, the other white guy.
Yeah, John Travolta, the other white guy.
The other white guy.
I am actually going to talk about a movie that I saw earlier today. And I got to thank the B-tards over at Boston Bastard Brigade for this. Because they picked me up for Inglourious Bastards, which was really nice. And they picked me up for a double whammy today. And I promise I will not spoil either movie.
Bullshit. Spoilalicious is coming out, people.
No, I'm not.
Spoilalicious.
First one on the docket. Yes, Dargan.
Docket! You're so cute.
Is Where the Wild Things Are.
Oh, cool.
And as you all know, the illustrator and the author was Maurice Sendak. And I had seen a little making of on HBO about this movie and how people were, you know, didn't really appreciate this book when it first came out. And I remember reading it and, not then understanding why this was not perceived as a children's book. Now, going back to it in my 25 years of age, I understand now completely why this is not really, was not perceived as a childhood book.
It's not.
I saw this movie at IMAX with the B-tards. So I got to not only see this movie and experience this movie visually, but I got to feel it through my butt.
Feel it through your butt!
Because they have these things called butt kickers that are, like, in the seat that rumble during, you know, rumbling in movies.
Your butt?
Yeah.
Is a butt vibrator is what you're telling me?
Yeah, but, I mean, my butt felt rejuvenated
during the movie. So where the wild butt is?
Where the wild butt is.
Oh.
And it was really funny because, for one, we saw Jason Veritek, and several of the B-tars were kind of geeking out at seeing Veritek. I didn't realize it was him at first until they were like, "It's Veritek!" And they were pointing. And I was like, oh, okay, which goes to show how not very into sports I am. But he was actually there with, I believe he's got children. He was there with children, so apparently he was.
So you're hoping that it was, you know, his kids. He just wasn't randomly like, "Hey, children, want to go see a movie with me? I'm Jason Veritek."
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably his kids.
Needless to say, if I was going to do a ratio of children to adults who went to this movie, there were a lot more children
than adults.
And
that's not...
Uh-oh. Knowing what I knew, I was like, this is not going to go well, especially with the stylistic choice that our director who did this movie...
Spike Jonze!
You know, did, because, I mean, he made it his own without violating the original concept created by Sendak, which I really do appreciate, because that's when you know you've got a harmony between book and movie, because a lot of the thing, you know, a lot of it was, you know, linear, if not exact, to the book, which was nice. It kind of threw me off at first in the beginning of this movie. You know, because they just show wild antics of a crazy, you know, the inner workings of a child's mind, or at least Max's mind.
Right.
Visually stunning. They chose a great, great location to do a lot of this stuff. It was really dark.
Right.
Really, really dark. And at some points, me being an adult was actually kind of scared. It actually kind of made me scared a little bit, you know. And I mean, I'm no heart, you know, brave soldier on the moors of Ireland or anything, but you know, I can usually associate things that are, you know, fake and scary or real and scary. And there were a couple of moments where they made,
you know, the real atmosphere of fear come into play that really kind of made me jumpy, which is, you know, but I felt really bad because of there's all these little kids, you know, and a lot of them were crying, you know, and one girl's like, "Mommy, I'm really scared." You know, when Carol kind of wanted to eat Max, and it was scary.
Spoilerishes!
No, I didn't say where, when and when that happened. That could have been early in the movie. That could have been at the ending. I ain't telling you where. But needless to say, there was a point, and it was really scary. I mean, they went really primitive. I mean, in the middle of a dark woods, you know, everybody's depressed and miserable. And, I mean, they really, there was a lot of symbolism in this movie that no child up to middle school would understand.
Where the Wild Things are, like a lot of books, like other authors, like Roald Dahl, is not a children's book.
I know. Well, I feel really bad because I think, like, that the way it was promoted, like, half of it was promoted like a children's book, and the other half wasn't. So I feel really bad because, you know, parents were like, "Oh, let's take our kids to go see the Wild Thing, where the Wild Things are, since we read them the book." You know, and now...
But they read them the book...
That doesn't say anything, because when they made James and the Giant Peach, people flocked to go see that in theaters.
Well, yeah. But see, that one, I will join you in that the way that it was marketed and the fact that it was CGI, you know, a lot of parents...
I thought it was stop action.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Regardless.
But so, I mean, when you do that kind of animation style, you know, a parent always jumps to the bag on of, "Oh, look, that's cutesy looking. I should be able to take my kids to it."
Well, then I kind of hope that they don't take, you know, have their kids watch Coraline.
But they did. Okay, a lot of families went to go see Coraline, and Coraline was not...
Well, I mean, that was borderline. There were definitely parts in that movie that were geared towards kids, mm-hmm. but the overall concept of Coraline was not. Mm-mm. But needless to say, you know, so I mean, the cross promotion of this was really bad. They should have marketed it straight up as an adult movie. They shouldn't have made it so that children could go and see this, because I bet there's about 1,500 kids who pee themselves at night overseeing this movie, and maybe even four adults, but I won't say who they are.
You won't say which four.
Yeah.
Well, it's rated for parental guidance, meaning that...
You gotta go with a parent.
You gotta go with a parent. So, I mean, that's not bad. Okay, it wasn't rated G.
No, but a lot of people, you know, obviously they misconstrued what that meant.
Well,
because this was very adult-themed. Like, the symbolism and the message in this movie was more geared to...
Yeah, but you can say or make that same argument about any Pixar movie, okay? You look at Cars.
No, I don't know if I would... I don't know if I could fully agree with you, because I think that was a kid's movie, but they put stuff in there so that adults could enjoy it, too. I do not believe...
The Incredibles.
Cars was... All right, The Incredibles was. Not Cars, though. I think Cars was...
Cars was... The whole synergy of the thing was the things of the past not staying in the past and being put away for the newer, faster thing. To not forget the old ways. That's the whole thing that the movie was about. Do you really think six-year-olds picked up on that?
That could be a lesson that you teach your kids. You know, like, "Oh, I don't want to play with my old car because I want a new one." Well, you know, you should treasure your old ones, too.
It's a lesson that you could teach your boyfriend.
Yes. Touché.
Check Ninja.
Anyway, the movie, like I said, beautiful. I enjoyed watching it because I felt touched watching this movie.
Aww, now, was it the butt kicker?
Did
it touch your butt?
The butt kicker was touching, but that's not what
did
I mean.
Did it vibrate your touche?
The movie itself was touching and moving. And at some points, psychotic.
Well, it was a movie. It should move. If it didn't move, it'd be a still picture. Sorry.
Anyway.
That was an easy one.
I really enjoyed it. Like, I really think that this will be one that I go and I buy. And I watch, not on repeat for the rest of my life.
Right.
But it's definitely one that when I feel really depressed and I think life sucks.
Yeah, you'll want in your collection.
And then I'll feel happy.
And that's, I really think, is what The Wild Things are is really about for so many people, and why so many people our age enjoy it, and we're so excited to hear that a movie was being done about it, to hear that it wasn't going to be, you know, an animated CGI thing, and then even more excited when we heard that Spike Jonze was going to direct it. You know, it's on my list to see, and I will probably own it, but the thing that I always liked about Where the Wild Things Are was that in my moments where everything seemed a little bit much,
mm-hmm.
I always found myself thinking back to that story in one way or another, or something that I pulled out of it, because I identified a lot with Max, especially as right. a kid. You know, and it's one of those things that endears itself to you, whether you read it as a child and then as you get older start to appreciate it, because I don't think that you appreciate it when you're young. Okay, it's story time when you're young. But once you get around the high school and the college pieces, then you really start being able to understand and absorb what's in the story, what's in the words. And I think that's why so many of us are just like, yes, Where the Wild Things Are.
Yeah. So it was really good. And I've heard a lot of people are like, I don't know if I like it. I mean, for those who are complaining about not liking it, I want to ask if you've read the book. Because if you read the book, you would appreciate what this movie has done for the book.
Well, good.
And for the story.
That makes me feel better, because I always get a little worried when they start taking books.
I mean, obviously, you know, they overhyped up the tension in the house with Max to make a point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some things are a tad bit exaggerated, but, you know, this was, you know, a book that maybe had, what, 12 pages in it? So, I mean, they had to beef up certain things, and I don't, you know, detract for that. But it really satisfied my requirements for this movie to be good.
Well, good, good. Last thing before we do the ending business and get out of here that I didn't get to before is just wanted to let you guys know that the God of War movie is going to suck ass.
Of course it is. We knew that.
Well, yeah.
Well, the reason why it's going to suck ass is Brett Ratner is going to be directing it. And if you're not familiar with Brett, let me familiarize you with some of his most recent work. Rush Hour 3.
Kratos will be like, don't ever touch a Spartan's radio, boy!
X-Men The Last Stand. And yeah,
Codename... That was a fantastic movie. Real quality work right there.
And Codename The Cleaner.
Oh my god, are you serious?
So...
I watched The Cleaner because it made me want... Never mind, I'm not going to say that because I know I'm drunk now. Sorry.
So, retracting. Just so that you know, he's attached to it.
Fantastic.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Am I going to... I'm probably going to prefer to watch Paint Dry.
Probably. Than see
I'm going to rather watch Doom with The Rock. Not that you know it's The Rock, because it's all in first-person perspective. Most of the fucking time.
That is so
like,
bad.
I'm The Rock, and this is what The Rock sees on set. Oh, wait, this is the actual movie.
I know I watched that movie, but I don't even remember it. I've
Good
pretty
you.
Much erased that's, it from my memory.
That's a beautiful thing, and I wish yeah. the rest of us could do that.
Yeah.
I remember it's blue. It was very, very blue. Everything was blue.
Yeah. Like, shit, guy, we gotta go in that room. All right. Oh, monsters. I'm The Rock. It's dark. Put on a flashlight. I don't have one.
Yeah, that's pretty much the movie.
That's Doom abridged.
Because, you know, I mean, it's summertime, and it's kind of hard to stay focused because there are movies, you know, that are out that you want to go
yep,
to.
Uh-huh. Keep rubbing it in.
I didn't say that I got to go to.
No, but you did. I'm not stupid.
I didn't. I haven't seen a movie since Up.
I thought you saw the Star Trek movie.
Star Trek was before Up.
Oh, so you didn't see Transformers?
No. No, oh. I didn't. And from what I keep reading on the web, it's probably okay that I didn't.
Are you serious? Because everyone I've talked to has been like, it's...
the balls.
Okay, first of all, let's talk about this before we jump into all the game stuff, because this is geeky. It falls in there. There's a game about it. So, I mean, we can talk about this. Here's the thing about the Transformers 2 movie, okay? There are two camps. If you go into the movie going, hey, it's a Michael Bay film, that means explosions! Okay, and probably not a lot of plot, just more explosions! And Shia LaBeouf doing the whole whiny bitch thing that he does sometimes. If you go into it knowing that and going, hey, but it's Transformers. Robots are going to fight. This is going to be cool. It's an okay movie.
But
if you go into it expecting to have the experience of the definitive robot battle for something movie, you're going to be disappointed, because that's not what this movie is. It's not like the robot fighting movie. It's a movie that has robots that transform, and there's some fight scenes, and they're kind of epic in that they're CGI, and then Shia LaBeouf comes on, is all a whiny little bitch, and hey, look over here, it's Megan Fox, and she's nearly naked. Woo, woo, nearly naked. Okay, cool. And scene. Now,
okay.
I haven't seen this movie physically myself, but I'm sure if you ask most people, that's a fairly accurate synopsis of this movie, because that's pretty much a fairly accurate synopsis of the last Transformers movie.
Aww.
Robots, robots, they transform, talkie-talkie, explosion.
And one of them turns into a human, which doesn't make sense, because we all know that the Transformers did not take on human form.
They were looking for Energon, you know, for the longest time in the cartoon. And, you know, every time they found some, not a damn one of them turned into a person. So if that's the case, I really don't need to see this movie. Because if I bear witness to a Transformer turning into a flesh and blood human, I will walk out and ask for my money back.
Then don't go, because I heard that they send one and she looks like a girl and she goes to kill Sam.
So we're basically turning Transformers into the Terminator.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll pass on that. Thanks. I'll just.
Well, I've heard positive things about it. A bunch of my crew that, you know, have jobs and money.
Are they on money. Drugs? Are they hitting the pipe?
No.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
They work in the pole, because, I mean, that does lead to some seedy judgment.
None of my friends work on the pole.
Well,
and they generally liked it. I mean, no, I think only two of them know the actual storyline to Transformers, and even they did not, you know, they didn't snub it. But then again, my friends are those type of friends that they can go into a brand new movie and still talk. And, you know, like, they kind of go into, like, Mystery Theater 3000.
Theater 3000, you mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they sit there and they do really horrible commentary, or they do quotes that have nothing to do with the movie. They're the annoying group.
You know, you typically only do that with a movie that sucks, right? Because if the movie's good, you're paying attention to the movie.
Oh, well then I don't know why they were saying it was good, but then they're telling me about all the funny things they were saying in the interim of some things. Oh well, I didn't go.
I'm a fan of Alice in Wonderland. The books, obviously, first.
Animation. Not Lewis Carroll being a pedophile.
You know, if it wasn't for some pedos out there, we wouldn't have some decent literature.
Like Lolita.
Regardless.
Sorry, I couldn't.
I mean, if I'm going to go in terms of, you know, lineup of what I liked from best, or rather in order of my preference to least, it would go books first, then the Disney animation, and then when I grew up a little bit, I decided to double check that book and then go back and do other adaptations. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you see how the story has changed in terms of adaptations since Disney took it, they've come back around to reappreciate the actual darkness that was in the story,
uh-huh.
Which I appreciate. I mean, if you've ever played the video game, Alice, it's fucked up.
Yeah, but that's American McGee's take. So that's another adaptation.
Yeah. But I mean, still, like, they're paying homage to the fact that the story wasn't necessarily as light and cheery as Disney made it, which I appreciate. Now, I'm a big fan of Tim Burton. Love A Nightmare Before Christmas. I've generally liked a lot of the stuff that he has made outside of Corpse Bride, which wasn't nearly as great as I was hoping it would be.
Really? And, you didn't like Corpse Bride?
I liked Corpse Bride, but I felt like something was missing. Like, I felt something was a little odd. But I still liked it. You know, and I mean, you kind of see this trend going on with Burton now, where you see a lot of Depp, and you see a lot of his baby mama. And you see that little boy from Charlie in the, you know, you see him a lot, too.
Yeah, but I think that that's just kind of, you know, finding the niche of people that get where you're going.
He seems to be typecasting, though.
I don't know that it's necessarily typecasting. I think he's just pulling, you know, Woody Allen. He's found the set of people he enjoys working with.
Yeah, I guess.
That go to the places he wants them to go to easily.
Maybe.
He's found his comfort zone.
I think he just wants to fuck Johnny Depp in the butt.
That may also be. Would you necessarily blame
him? I don't object. I don't, because Johnny Depp is awesome.
Johnny Depp is awesome.
From the few little bits that I've seen, I mean, have you seen what Johnny Depp looks like as the Mad Hatter?
Yes, I have.
Like, I mean, talk about out there.
But Johnny Depp does out there really well. Yes, he always has.
And I mean, I'm kind of curious to see how Anne Hathaway is going to work in this. Because she's the White Queen, but isn't the White Queen from Through the Looking Glass is in the second part of... Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, apparently he's incorporating both books into one movie.
Right, because there's no guarantee that you would actually be able to get to the second one.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, he's going to jumble it all up in a blender and... Hopefully it will make
But sense. I mean, that's how the animated one was anyway. I mean, White Queen was in the animated one.
Yeah, you're right.
And there was no Jabberwocky.
Yeah. So, I mean, am I interested to see what Tim Burton's adaptation's going to look like? Yes. Do I like the colors that he's giving Johnny Depp? Yes. Am I a little concerned about Anne Hathaway? I mean, I like Anne Hathaway as an actress. Hell, I will watch The Devil Wears Prada 15 times a day. If that would actually work in a 24-hour period,
right.
Which I actually don't think it would.
No, not really.
But I like her as an actress. So, I mean, I kind of want to see this very... I mean, I wouldn't say that her roles have been tame, but, I mean, they've been kind of, you know, centered around a normal girl.
Look, Bride Wars. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. But, I mean, still, I mean, Tim Burton goes wonky. Can Anne go wonky?
I think that this is going to be a good test of that.
I think so, too. I mean, so I'm looking forward to it. I actually kind of do want to see it when it comes out in the theaters. But I'm not going to go in going, oh, my God, this is going to be awesome, because there's a very good chance that it will be meh.
Well, you know what you need to do outside of... enjoy and watch some of those movies if you haven't that we talked about. You need to hit us up on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use a short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address bounces you to the long one. You can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. Please subscribe, people. Pretty please.
With sugar on top.
Let the powers of the movies compel you.
The powers of the movies compel you. The powers of the movies compel you.
Anyway, don't forget, there's also, you know, an RSS reader.
Feed. Yeah.
Feed. The RSS
feed. The RSS feed goes in your RSS reader.
Feeder. Any podcast search engine, and we're also a part of the All Games Network.
You can find episodes of our shows airing each week on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com. Typically on Wednesday, they might be on Monday. It's one of those days, I'm not exactly sure. But if it's Wednesday, the new episode will be out at 8:30 Eastern, which works out to be 5:30 Pacific time. And if it's on...
Pacific. There we go.
Okay. And if the episode's airing on Monday, then it'll be 11 p.m. Eastern Time, which works out to be 8 p.m. Pacific Time. And while you're there getting ready to listen to the episode of ESH on the All Games Radio Network, make sure that you check in on some of the other shows that are there, like Dead Pixel Live.
And Gametopius.
And Bobby Blackwolf, because he's the man.
Beowulf is the man.
You can also check out the shows that are coming out of the ESH camp. You've got us with new episodes on Monday. On Tuesday, you've got the Boston Bastard Brigade, helmed by our very own King Baby Duck. Their new episodes right then and there. Fresh perspective, uniquely Bostonian, for sure. There's a lot of accent in there. And then on Wednesday, to get your nerd going, you've got Geek Aggro co-hosted by our very own Deuces Wild. Fill it out the rest of the week while you got the stuff that we're writing on that website, as well as following us on Twitter, Facebook. Help us get our own name on Facebook. Become a fan. Join the fan page. Check out the things that we're doing on YouTube. New videos coming all the time. They're fun. Fotainment.
And if Funtainment.
And if you need links to all that stuff, you can find it at www.electricsisterhood.com/socialize. So with that, I gotta ask, Panda, do you have anything you need to disclose?
I need to disclose only real butter on popcorn is awesome.
I would like to disclose that if you have any kind of love for me, the next time you see me, you'll make me a fluffernutter.
Are you talking to me personally?
No, I'm talking to the internets. If you see me and you love me, you need to make me a fluffernutter.
Be careful, you might start getting some peanut, fluffernutters in the mail from all over the world.
My mailing address personally is not on the website, but fluffernutters, that's how you show somebody love.
Nothing says I love you than like a fluffernutter.
In your mouth. So as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we are out.
Bye!
Peace, homie.
Well, any of their shows win any of those TV awards? What are those? Are those
Emmys?
I don't know. I can't.
Anyway.
Keep the awards straight.
No, Emmys for TV broadcasting.
They'll be talking about an awards show, and I'll be like, oh, yeah, that's that music one, right? And they'll be like, yeah, for TV shows. I was like,
Emmys
are for TV. I can't keep them straight.
Oscars are for movies.
Oscars are the little golden man, right?
Yeah. Emmys, bitch with wings holding up the globe.
I thought it was a guy.
No, why do you think it's Emmy? Emmy. It's a girl.
Emmy.
Emmy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Bitch with wings holding up a globe. That's for TV. Grammy looks like an old RCA Victrola.
Yep.
Right.
That's for music.
Right. And then, the little orange blimps are the Nickelodeon.
Yeah, the little orange blimps are for Nickelodeon. Okay.
What about the MTV?
MTV has a Moon Man.
Okay.
The Tonys, it's basically, it looks like a little medallion that's in a semicircle.
Okay. Wait, yeah, the Academy and the Oscars are the same, right?
Yes. Yeah, the Academy of Motion Award is an Oscar. Yes.
It's not like I ever watch any of them, so...